Good morning. It's so good to be able to minister God's word to you, even though we have to be apart. Starting today, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be in the Psalms, looking at what it means to hope in God in the midst of various trials that we encounter as believers. I think we need this right now. And so I ask that you join me in praying that the Holy Spirit would use this to combat the enemy's lies that come when we are weighed down by the trials. So please pray with me. Father, I ask that you would again care for your people this morning by your word. Cause it to find a home in our hearts and anchor us in your unshakable character, and in your unfathomable sovereignty, and in your priceless provision. In Jesus' great name, I pray. Amen. Seasons of spiritual darkness are not uncommon for us as believers. When we're in them, we can lose all sense of God's presence and his pleasure. The sweetness of God that we knew has all but dried up, and our thoughts are consumed with darkness. It's when your soul does not want to draw near to God, and you're not able to perceive his goodness. And the enemy of our souls is eager to take advantage of it. He comes in the open door and seeks to set a fire in our souls by his lies. But God is our rock. He is our standing place in the flood. So how do we hope in God when we're facing spiritual darkness? Psalm 42 through 43 brings us into the experience of spiritual darkness. Beloved, this is in our Bibles because spiritual darkness is not an uncommon or unusual experience for the believer. God's word is giving us a solid foundation for our hope in the midst of it. So please open your Bibles with me to Psalm 42. I'll be reading Psalm 42 and continuing right through into Psalm 43. These two psalms were intended to be read together. They work like the hymns that we sing on Sunday morning. There's a verse followed by a chorus, then another verse, repeat the chorus. This happens three times. And with each verse, we're moved through the experience of coming to God in the midst of spiritual darkness. Please follow along as I read Psalm 42 through 43. This is God's word. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. Well, they say all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. May God bless the reading of his word. Notice there are three movements that build on one another in this poem. With each move, we move through the experience of coming to God in the midst of spiritual darkness. First, we see the psalmist wrestling with the darkness, then fearfully turning to the sovereign God, and then confidently praying for deliverance. Let's look at each movement one at a time. So first, wrestling with the darkness, verses 1 through 5. He's downcast, depressed, and his inner life is in turmoil. It's like churning waters. Look down with me at verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? What's causing his depression and his anxiety, his inner angst, the swirling waters? We see in verse 1 and 2, he laments, as a deer pants for a flowing stream, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, O God. He feels completely separated, cut off from God, and he desperately needs him. His whole being is longing, thirsting for God. He's like a deer lost in the dry and arid wilderness, panting for water. And as his thirst deepens, his anxiety deepens, and it's like a vicious cycle with no escape. And he cries out, when shall I come and appear before God? God's presence feels completely outside of his grasp. He's been driven out of the land, taken away from Jerusalem and the temple, and he has no idea when he will return or if he will return. It feels hopeless, and his heart aches for God's presence. He only wistfully remembers the pleasures of God's presence. Verse 4, he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise. All these joys and these memories of sweetness, they're all in the past. Now he feels separated. Sometimes God will take away a precious fountain of his grace, where we have enjoyed his sweetness, his goodness, his nearness. And when he does, we can slide into a season of spiritual darkness. Maybe God has moved you, and you've been separated from a church family where you experience the goodness of God, deep relationships, spiritual growth, and an abiding sense of His nearness. Or maybe you've lost a loved one, a spouse, a dear friend, or a spiritual mentor, and you fear all God's grace has dried up for you. Or maybe the circumstances in your life have changed. Now you're newly married, or your family is growing, and you have more and more responsibilities, so you're not able to meet with God like you used to. Or maybe our present situation, the alienation that you're experiencing from dear friends and from weekly worship, has brought you into a season of darkness. All the wells that you would go to are either gone or they're bone dry. Is your heart full of grief, not knowing when or if you'll experience the joy of His presence? Listen to verse 3. My tears have been my food day and night. All feels dark, and then the enemy fires a lie. Where is your God? The devil responds to the ache of our souls with flying arrows, and they can pierce our hearts with searing pain because the question finds purchase in our souls. Where is God? Where is the joy of His presence? Maybe I've been abandoned. Maybe I've been forgotten. Maybe I've been rejected. Even the lines between physical pain and emotional pain, they can begin to blur. And our souls do not want to draw near to God. Because when our souls are full and overflowing with the joy of God's presence, we are drawn to Him. Just like sunshine draws us out on a beautiful day. But when our souls feel exiled from Him, cast out of the presence of God, when His presence is cast over in terrifying clouds, we do not want to draw near. Beloved, this is when we need to coach our souls. A great and terrible lie of our day is that our feelings establish reality. They do not. Our feelings convey the truth of our experience, not the truth of reality, not the truth of God and God's Word. So the truth of our experience needs to come in line, come under the truth of God and God's Word. We should often preach to our souls and tell them where to go, where to find rest, where to find joy. So the psalmist counsels his own soul. He says, verse 5, hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. This is the first and the hardest thing for a dark soul, to go to God, to draw near to Him when we perceive His fearsomeness. But we, the redeemed, know that even though God is shrouded in darkness, He is our salvation, and the one who will restore us, bring us back into the joy of His presence. Brothers and sisters, do not measure your faith by the endless enjoyment of God's presence here and now. Faith is trusting in God's character and promises. Even in seasons of spiritual darkness, the Spirit works within us so that we know and trust that God desires to bring us into the joy of His presence, even if for a season we feel exiled from it. Second, he fearfully turns to the sovereign God. Verses 6 through 11. Notice the therefore in verse 6. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you. He is making a deliberate turn to God. When he remembers God, he's not just recalling or bringing God to mind. He is laying hold of him by faith. Just like Israel was commanded to remember the Lord your God when they entered the promised land, he is remembering God. It's not just a command to bring him to mind. It's a command to remember who he is. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's said. And then live in accordance with it. And so now in the hill country of Hermon, by the shores of the Jordan, he remembers who God is. And he moves deliberately toward God because his soul is downcast and in need of him. He's turning from himself and bringing his grief, the truth of his experience, to God. He now begins to pray, and it feels like the chaos of his soul, it feels like he's calling out of the chaos of his own soul into chaos. He writes in verse 7, deep calls to deep. Just as the Spirit of God hovered over the deep, uncreated chaos at creation, our souls feel like a swirling chaos of darkness and uncertainty, a void of life. And he's calling out to God, who seems like darkness. Praying in the midst of spiritual darkness can feel like chaos in us, calling out into the chaos. But just as the Spirit of God hovered over the deep at creation, God is over the chaos we experience. Notice that the waves and the breakers of this waterly wasteland are God's. He writes in verse 7, your breakers, your waves have gone over me. This leads him to cry out in verse 9, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? The sovereignty of God in our suffering is mysterious. Scripture gives us some reasons God allows suffering, but he doesn't give us all of his reasons. Still, our troubled souls cry out, why, when we come to God? And there are just some questions God does not answer. He has his reasons. So God's sovereignty in our suffering can raise questions, but it's also our hope. Our God brought order and filled the waterly chaos with life with a word. Likewise, God can say the word and bring life, the joy of his presence, back into the chaos of our souls. His sovereign power is our standing place amidst the crashing chaos. In my early 20s, I faced a season of spiritual darkness. In these days, I felt like God's goodness, his presence, had dried up. Anxiety was my common experience, my daily experience. But even in the midst of the darkness, as I look back on it now, I can see God was caring for me. I was living with my aunt and uncle at the time, and they were so patient and hospitable, meeting my needs, even though when I felt like a shell of the person who I am today. And on one of my darkest days, God provided a sermon that stirred up my soul to come to Him. I felt like I was losing grip on God. But as we see here, God doesn't let us go. The psalmist too recognizes God's steadfast love in the midst of the turmoil. Beloved, feed your souls on verse 9. Day by day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me. The Lord is full of compassion. He does not let you go, even when His ways are shrouded in darkness. He still commands His steadfast love towards you and keeps you through the night. When we turn to God in the midst of the chaos, questions don't go away. They may even become more acute as we try to square them against God's character. But we go to God because He's good, because He's powerful, because He's full of compassion and steadfast love. And He is the only one who will bring us through this into the joy of His presence. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Third, confidently praying for deliverance. Chapter 43, verses 1 through 5. Notice how now his prayer rings through with renewed confidence. He prays, verse 1, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people, from the deceitful and unjust man." He is saying, don't let the lies and the liar win out. Validate my trust in you. Prove again your steadfast love to your servant. Bring me back into your presence. But notice in verse 2 that even though he's now more decidedly taking refuge in God, his questions are still there. God has simply left them unanswered. Our lingering questions about God's ways. Why did he allow this? Why did he do that? May remain. But questions are not the evidence of unbelief. Earnest questions are the exact opposite. They're the believing heart trying to grapple with the mystery of God's ways. But there are simply some things God does not tell us. And so we must not demand an answer before we draw near to Him. He is God. Isaiah says, "As high as the heavens, or as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Beloved, be content to satisfy your soul on the wealth of what God has revealed. He's given us so much. Fold it into your soul. Meditate on it day and night. Live in the good of it. And trust Him. Trust Him with what we cannot understand here and now. Please look with me at verses 3 through 4. He prays, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into your holy dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God." Having reckoned with God's sovereignty, power, and his heart towards him, he calls on him to bring him back into his presence. And he trusts that God will bring him through this trial and into the eternal joy of his presence. Beloved, we have been given the ultimate revelation of God's will to bring us through the darkness and into his presence with joy. Jesus, who said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light," who brings you to the Father. God has sent his light. He has sent his truth to lead us and to bring us to him. His name is Jesus. And when the darkness falls on your soul and the sweetness of God's presence is all but lost, look to him. Look to Jesus, who was exiled from the presence of the Father so that you and I might be brought into his presence and know the fullness of joy. Jesus shows us the heart of God. You are not forgotten. You are not rejected. Put your hope in God. For you shall again praise him, your salvation and your God. Please pray with me. Father, you do not reject your people. We praise you that even in the darkness, your steadfast love is still towards us, and that you will bring us into the fullness of your presence. So stir up the hearts of those who feel estranged from you to draw near to you with confidence that you will draw near to them. In Jesus' great name, I pray. Amen. Let me send you out into your weeks with this blessing from 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.